so excited about this fast, and I want to encourage you, even if maybe you forgot and you're like, oh no, I'm behind, just jump right in. But the key is that you fast so that you could set aside time to seek God more. So you give up a meal so that while you know, previously you would be eating that meal and doing something else. Well, now you're saying, I'm not going to eat that meal, but I'm going to seek the face of God. And how many know when you seek Him, you find Him? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How many would say amen? He will reward our seeking and our fasting. So I really want to encourage you to become part of this. And regardless of where you are on your faith journey, start the process, start with us, join with the family of God. And in a sense, that leads us perfectly to the new series that we're beginning in this year, 2025. So we're starting a series titled Stepping Out. Everybody say Stepping Out. Now we're using the phrase stepping out because we're doing a series on faith from Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. And stepping out is a true manifestation of faith. When you have faith, you step out and you do things that you didn't previously do. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And so when you have faith in any particular area, there are steps of faith that you begin to take. And so this year, we're going to be looking at all of the different ways that the Bible tells us we can step out and trust God and honor God. How many know without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. I'm so happy that you know that verse. Faith is what pleases God. And if you want to have a great 2025, live by faith. Now, every year ought to be a year of faith, but why don't we call this year the year of faith? How many want to live by faith in 2025? Hallelujah. We want to bless God. We want to please God. And of course, the way you please God is by faith. Now, here's what's interesting. As we go over the course of the next 6 or 7 weeks, as we go over the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews, it's going to be looking at the different ways that the great patriarchs, our spiritual ancestors, the way they chose to live by faith. What highlighted their lives was these unique steps of faith that they took. But here's what's interesting. In the Old Testament, it only says faith a couple times. You see? And I think that's why stepping out is so important. Because it demonstrates faith more than it uses the word of faith, the actual word faith. But I do want to give you what I believe is, in a sense, the most important verse in the Old Testament regarding faith, because it kind of underlines everything about the life of faith. And here it is in the book of Habakkuk. The Bible says, the righteous shall live by his, everyone, faith. In other words, there is only one way to be right with God. The only way to be right with God is to put your faith in Jesus. So why is someone righteous? We're not righteous because of our deeds, because no one is righteous, not even one. Faith without works is dead, but works without faith is dead too. In other words, some people, they try to earn God's approval through their works, you see? But if you just try to earn your salvation instead of put your faith in Jesus, guess what? Our works are not enough. So we have to understand foundationally, if our works could get us right with God, then Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. But every time you see the cross, it's a reminder someone had to pay the price of sin for all mankind. So aren't you glad today, though, that Jesus came? He lived a perfect sinless life. He went to the cross in our place so that he was declared guilty so that we could be declared not guilty. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness, the righteous will live by faith. We put our faith in Jesus and we're righteous. Anybody happy about that today? Hallelujah. Just know you're not gonna please God by trying. You're gonna please God by believing in 2025. And when we believe, things, the grace of God is released to us so that we live differently. But it's faith. Faith is what pleases God. The righteous will live by faith, the Bible says. And so what we're gonna do now is we're gonna be reading out of the book of Hebrews. And can I tell you what's unique? We don't know who actually wrote Hebrews. A lot of people bend towards the Apostle Paul, but it's not confirmed. But what's unique about Hebrews is that Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, was written, we know this for a fact, it was written to a church in the urban context. And the book of Hebrews mentions city more than any other book in the New Testament. And the book of Hebrews was for people who were living life in the city. When you live life in the city, there are a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different perspectives. And when you live in the city, it's so easy to be dismissed or marginalized because of your faith. People love to make fun of your faith because they're so smart and so sophisticated and so this and so that. But we want to live by faith. We want to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in 2025. How many want to follow Jesus? Who cares what the world says? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And so we're going to begin now with the first look of faith, because faith has a certain look. Stepping out in, always has gives a certain look to your faith. And we're going to read now Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. And by the way, I'm so sorry, but by the way, please read Hebrews 11 this week. Take it in. Take over, look at the different personalities in the Bible. And if you don't know, you may want to say, oh, it's talking about Abraham or it's talking about Noah. Go read that. Go read that in the Bible. You have extra time because you're not going to be on social media. Come on, right? You have extra time because you won't be chomping on those Doritos and whatever it is that goes with your sandwich. So go and read and fill yourself with the Word of God. Okay, we're going to get to that next week. The power of the promises of God are crucial to your faith, but I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we," come on, two words, everyone, "hope for." What is faith? Faith is confidence in what we have. One more time, everyone. "Hope for, and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." So all of the great men and women of God in history, they were commended for their faith. And a big part of that was how they lived a life of hope. Okay? Faith is confidence in what we, one more time, hope for. Hope is a major facet, brothers and sisters, of faith. You know, if you want to move into this year and really walk in faith, then you have to open your eyes and open up your heart to this concept of hope. And therefore, the title of the message today is Faith Runs on Hope. Your faith, hope is the wheels of your faith. Hope is what keeps your faith going. It keeps your faith rolling. You know, there's that commercial that says, America runs on Dunkin'. Well, the Christians run on hope. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to live by hope this year. Faith runs on hope. Hope is a huge, huge deal in our lives. Are you hopeful? Is your faith being manifested by your hopeful disposition? Amen. Hope is the defining characteristic of faith. Why do I say that? It's because it's the first thing the Bible says about it when it's going to define it. So this is a big deal. And can I say this to you, brothers and sisters, especially anyone even who's watching online? Okay. If you've lost your hope, you've actually lost your faith too. Okay, you need hope in order to exercise faith. And I wanna suggest, we're gonna pray in a moment, but I wanna suggest that some people need to relearn how to hope in God. Amen. You know, I do this often. Sometimes I think, well, what song should we sing at the end of the service? And I was thinking about that song, I Trust in God, My Savior, the One Who Will Never Fail. And I stop right there because I can't keep that note going. That's a good one. When you have hope, you sing to the Lord. How many would say amen? And so there's something powerful about hope. And some of us, we need to relearn how to hope in Jesus. How many would say amen? So let's look at this. I want to define it for a moment, and then we're going to pray because of how important hope is. Hope is a big, big deal to your life. And I want you to know that before we unpack it, I really want to poke at this sense of sophistication and responsibility that it excuses away our living with hope. Like, I'm too mature to hope. You know, I just do what I can do. Well, let me tell you something. You can do more through Christ who strengthens you when you live by faith. There's so much less that we can do when we do it alone as opposed to when we do it in faith. How many would say amen to that? So look, hope defined is as follows. Hope is a joy-filled expectation that makes us comfortable with the uncertainties of life. Okay, it's a joy-filled expectation. Everyone say expectation. When you hope, you expect good things from God. And that expectation affects your feelings, your emotions, your outlook, your overall perspective, including what's in your spirit. So it's a joy-filled expectation that makes us comfortable with the uncertainties of life. In fact, hope makes us victorious over the uncertainties of life. Amen. Now, let me explain what that means. Like, the best way that I could describe this, I heard this of a psychologist was trying to explain to someone once about how if someone battles with, let's say, some kind of compulsive behavior, psychologists will say, look, you can tell someone don't wash your hands 9 times all you want. That doesn't help them, okay? Because the reason that they're washing their hands over and over and over again is because after the 5th time, they still wonder, are there germs on my hands? I don't really know. So because I don't really know, and I need to protect myself, I'll wash them again. You see? But so what the psychologist says is that you have to help the person create an emotional framework that says, you know what? I don't have to know specifically if there are germs on my hands or not. Washing my hands once, twice is enough. And there are other things that will help me deal with germs. I don't have to be worried about germs all the time. You see? So there's a different outlook. And I'm telling you right now, when you have hope, what happens is that whatever that thing is, because we may say, well, you may not wash your hands 9 times or 10 times, but you might certainly ruminate and worry about the same thing over and over and over and over again. And you're spinning and spinning and spinning about this or about that. But hope says, you know what? I'm putting this in God's hands, and surely goodness and mercy will follow after me. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy will follow me. God's going to be with me. God's going to take care of me. I have hope in the Lord. Amen. Hope changes that and actually breaks that. You see, hope breaks that so that you and I can live with the uncertainties of life. So hope is a very, very important, very powerful thing. And here's what the Bible says, and this is, I'm saying this because this is what we need to move into hope. Instead of saying, I'm so responsible, I wash my hands, or I worry about that, or I obsess about this because I'm responsible. Well, here's what the Bible says, and we gotta take a page out of a child's playbook here. The Bible says, truly I tell you, this is Jesus speaking. He says, unless you, everyone, let's read these three words, ready? Change and become. Unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? You got to become like a kid. And here's what a child's faith does. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. So let me keep breaking this down. So children are the best hopers on the planet. Because when you tell a child something, okay, they don't need to deal with all of the what ifs and all of the uncertainties. For example, the other day, Shelly, my assistant, was telling me this. She has two little ones. And dad said, hey, I'm going to take you to the dollar store. And for little kids, taking them to the dollar store is like taking a lady to Tiffany's. You know what I'm saying? They love their dollar store. And so Suavek said to the kids, hey, I'm going to take you to the dollar store. And then his day went crazy, and he was working and whatnot. And the day was getting late, and one of the kids said, hey, Mom, call Dad and remind him we're going to the dollar store. He didn't care about the work, about the problems, about the struggles. He didn't care about any of that. I'm going to the dollar store because my daddy said it, and that's all I need. My daddy said it, that's all I need. And so they don't care about the details. I've used this illustration before. When my kids were little, we surprised them one morning, and they woke up, and we changed the clocks, we packed for them. They had no idea. They came to the breakfast table, and we surprised them, we're going to Disney World. So Susie was probably 10 or 11, maybe 11. Annie was like 9. You know, I think, no, Annie was 4 years. Annie was younger. I'm hoping for better math skills in 2025. So she was like 6, Tommy was about 5. And so it was interesting to watch. Listen closely, because this is for you. So when we told them we're going to Disney World, like right now, Susie was like, right now? You mean we're not going to school? Did you call the teacher? All this kind of stuff. And he was like, we're going to Disney World, really? Right? But Tommy's like, let's go, we're going to Disney World. He was just running around, jumping around. Hallelujah, we're going to Disney World. Praise God. You know? And he was really praising God. He was saying, praise God, we're going to. Say praise God so your kids learn how to say praise God. Amen. He never asked if we talked to the teacher. He never asked, how are we going to pay for this? Who, you know how much it costs to fly on a plane? No questions asked. You guys said it. We're going to Disney World. That's all I need. How many know that's what God loves to come out of our hearts? When he sees that, oh, that blesses him. It pleases him. So here's what I want to pray. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would move us into a place of hope. I want to pray that we would get to the place that we would stop feeling like worry and fear is actually responsibility when it's not. You see, the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? If you know it, say it with me. All things will be added unto you. That's what the Bible says. God doesn't want you worrying about something that he's got in his hands and that he will take care of. Because somebody say amen today. And most of all, because it's not faith. It's not hoping in his goodness and in his faithfulness. So can we pray for a moment? And if you're watching online, today is a day that God wants to bring breakthrough to people who are holding on to things, who are being weighed down by things. Do you ever allow hope to fill your heart? Because God wants our hearts to be filled with hope. How many would say amen? Amen. So come on, let's lift our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for this time in your presence. And God, I ask that you would breathe upon this word. And I ask that you would minister to every heart, Lord. God, everyone here in this room, I thank you for every person here, Lord, everyone who's tuning in online. Lord, whether they're near or far, God, whether they're surrounded by people or alone, we're never alone because the Holy Spirit is with us. So may hope rise, O God, in every heart here and in every home, and may we, O God, throw off things that are not pleasing to you. And God, we want to walk in faith in 2025. So baptize us today with hope in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, let's praise Jesus right now. Hallelujah. So hope makes you uncomfortable with the days ahead because you're trusting God. Amen? Amen? Now, how do we become hopeful in 2025? And I want to say this. You can develop a spirit, a heart of faith by growing hope in your heart and in your mind and in your outlook. Okay? And so the way you become hopeful is you have to begin with the fact that true hope is only found in a person. If you want hope, hope is found in a person. So look, if you're a Christian here and you put your hope in a career, or you put your hope in the wrong person, or you put your hope in an experience, you put your hope in attaining, you've got a dream for yourself, you're like, when I get this, it's all gonna be great. I'm gonna tell you right now, because God loves you, you're gonna find God redirecting you until you are hoping in the right person. There is only one person whose word never fails, and his name is Jesus. Somebody say amen. The promises of God are yes and amen. You see, and so as adults, we recognize, brothers and sisters, that yes, it's great for a little boy to say, if daddy said it, daddy's gonna do it. But spiritually speaking, we have to grow up and say, I'm not gonna put my hope in other people, in other things, in other accomplishments, in other experiences, because all of those things will let you down, but those who look to him will never be put to shame. Hallelujah. All my hope is in you, Lord Jesus. So hope begins by totally saying, I want Jesus, I trust Jesus, and I put my hope in Jesus alone. Amen. This is a big deal. Okay, and let me tell you why this is such a big deal. You see, when you put your hope in Jesus and Jesus alone, it enables you to release people who've hurt you. Part of what needs to happen today, okay, and we need a spiritual transaction here. I know we got a lot of new people. Can I tell you something? And forgive me for the redundancy, those who've been around a while, but I need to say this, okay? I hope you didn't come here to hear a person. I hope you came here to have a real encounter with the Spirit of the living God, King Jesus. Church, coming to church is so filled with many, many blessings, but the main thing is to have an encounter with God. That's what this is all about. Okay, otherwise, what's the point? This is not a pep talk. This is not a TED talk. This is about us lifting our spirits and raising our eyes and focusing on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen, when you do that, it heals you. Here's why, because when you finally just put your hope in Jesus, all of a sudden the people that you were hoping in that let you down, you're like, they're just human beings just like me. I let them off the hook. Somebody say, let them off the hook. God wants you to let go of the people who hurt you this year. And God wants you to release that, not because it wasn't important and you're minimizing it. No, 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 no. That's not. God deals with everything. God will settle all accounts. Remember, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The last thing you want to do is judge someone that God is trying to reach and minister to. No matter how wretched they've been to you, how many know we've all been wretched ourselves? And so the thing that God wants to do is God today, God wants us to let people off the hook because we're putting our hope in Jesus. And can I tell you, maybe you're here and you've been let down by a spiritual leader. I do this from time to time. Maybe a pastor hurt you. Maybe I hurt you. Maybe one of the pastors here hurt you. I wanna ask your forgiveness. And I wanna, on behalf of whoever that leader was, I wanna say, I apologize. Because you know what? We're just human beings. We need Jesus just as much as you do. In fact, I feel like I'd need Jesus more than you do because of the spiritual responsibility. You see, but if you could have mercy on people, if you could have mercy on the father who let you down, if you could have mercy on the uncle or the teacher or the coach who let you down, And you're like, they should have never acted like that. Yes, and that's why Jesus came and acted perfectly and died on the cross to be rich in mercy, not just to you, but to them as well. If you could let them go and just put your hope in Jesus, I'm telling you right now, your spirit's gonna be lighter. You're gonna be free. You're gonna walk around with joy. You're gonna find you'll be depressed less. You'll be discouraged less because you let it go. Somebody say, let it go. I'm telling you right now, letting it go is for your own good. And you have a great reason to let it go. You let it go because your hope is in Christ and Christ alone. Come on, could somebody say amen to that? You gotta let it go. If you wanna walk into 2025 in faith, guess what? You gotta let it go. And he wants you to, and he will help you. And he's not, this moment is not belittling your hurt or your pain, but it is acknowledging the fact that if you let this go, you will be better. And he wants you to be better. How many would say, amen? Amen. Look at what the Bible says about Jesus being our hope. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a, everyone, living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What Christ did because of mercy has brought us into this living hope. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. What is anchoring your soul today? Hope in Jesus is the anchor of our soul. Somebody say amen. We have only one anchor for our soul. It's not in your bank account. Okay, it's not in your family. It's not in your spouse. It's not in your children. It's not in your dream. It's not in your career. There's only one anchor. The anchor of our soul is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, I know I've been telling you to clap, but let's clap again. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it's in a person. Firm and secure, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. All of the division between God and man is removed when we put our hope in Jesus. We have access to the Holy of Holies because of Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And so we have to know that hope is the wheels of 2025. Hope is the wheels of your faith. So let me apply this, if they could send me a keyboard player. But let me apply this. Hope is the way giants in your life will be taken down. How do you slay a giant? You gotta have hope. You see, because when David gets to that field, right? David took down Goliath. David gets to the field. There's the king is there, the leaders are there, the soldiers are there. They all had the same Bible that day. They were Jews. They had the same Bible that David had, but they didn't have hope in the God of that Bible. So David gets there, and because David had such a strong relationship with God, when David faces Goliath, nobody else said this. But he said, you come at me with your size. You come at me with your strength. Here's what he was saying. I'm going to paraphrase for it. You come at me with your power and all the people that you killed in the past. You come against me with a javelin and with a sword. But guess what? I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and you will come down. Because I know in whom I have believed. I know the God that's with me. He's the one who helped me with the lion. He's the one who helped me with the bear. Have you had a few lions that you had to deal with this year? Well, Jesus was there. Jesus was faithful. If you broke through in anything, it was Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus was the one who helped you through that. And guess what? If you put your hope in Jesus again, you're gonna take down that giant this year. Amen. Giants are coming down. Amen. In 2025. Hallelujah. Giants of depression, giants of trauma, giants of injury, giants of sorrow coming down in the name of Jesus. Giants of addiction, giants of obsession, giants of fear coming down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know it doesn't matter how big it is because our God is bigger? Does anybody believe that today? Does anybody have that hope? Hallelujah. You mean just believe and that's it? That's right. Don't try to figure out the miracle. Just believe. Say, I believe. Hallelujah, Jesus. True hope is only in one person. And as the days unfold, keep focusing on Jesus again. This week, when you get tempted to look too much at a person, to go stop. Come on, somebody say amen to that. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help you catch yourself. I trust in God, my Savior. He will never fail. Hallelujah. So now, when you really put your hope in a person, what happens is that hope actually becomes an attitude. Hope becomes an attitude. And this is very important because remember, when you step out in faith, faith has certain looks. One of the looks that faith has is hope. Like you kind of have an interaction with someone and like, man, that person is so hopeful. They have such a bright disposition. They have such a positive outlook. I'm not talking about positive confession. I'm talking about hope in Jesus. Amen. You know, when I was in Bible school and I was really studying all kinds of issues of faith, I got sick once and we were in chapel and it's real interesting. So, you know, I mean, they were sick and I was sick. And by the way, please pray for my wife, Chrissy. She's got the flu. And she's been down for the count several times in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Would you pray for her? Amen. Thank you. So anyways, so I go to the altar. They made it at a church service. They call for prayer. And when I go, I mean, I had one of those like a fountain coming out of my nose. And it was one of those things you want to pray like this for people. In Jesus' name, right? Like, and so anyway, I was like that. So I got up, and the guy said to me, I said, man, I'm so sick, and I need prayer. And the guy said, you're not sick. You just have the symptoms of sickness. And I went, so let me tell you something. God never expects you to deny reality. Okay? He doesn't expect you to deny reality. He does expect you to believe in him that he can change reality. Come on, somebody say amen. So look, if your marriage is bad, your marriage is bad. If you're addicted to something, you're addicted. Don't deny. It's not Christian to live in denial. Don't deflect. Why? Because the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. How many believe in the power of that? That is the truth. If you just deflect, that it means that you don't have hope in the power of God. So I'm not saying that you deny, but what I am saying is that when you have faith, you develop an attitude of hope. Yes. When you look at things, when you're dealing with things, there's this disposition of hope that comes into your being. And look at what it says in Isaiah about this. And this is important for your coming year. Watch this. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. Faith has to stand for a while before the breakthrough happens. And the way you stand is you develop this attitude of hope, so that even though things are going kind of crazy, it still means that your heart and your mind and your emotions, because they're fixed on Jesus, they're good. So here's the way I want to close this. I want to give you just a few kind of examples of how hope becomes an attitude. So the first thing is, hope makes you strong when things are wrong. Got one amen. Thank you, Lord. In life, things go wrong. You want the truth? In life, things go wrong. In this life, you'll have many troubles. But take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. Somebody say amen. You see, in life, things go wrong. Sometimes things go wrong. And guess what? When things go wrong, hope makes you strong. Hope says, this is bad, but God is good. You know, hope will affect your worship. And I'm praying, we got to get better as a church in worship. Okay? We have to grow in the area of worship. I remember being a baby Christian, and I heard this story at the first church I ever went to in Brooklyn Tab. A sister in the church was driving on the highway, and smoke started coming out of her, out of the engine. So she pulled over. Then she kind of got afraid, and she got out of the car. And then the car just set on fire, right? And so I remember, like, man, this is like a long time ago, right? And you know what she did? She didn't know what to do. What do you do when your engine's on fire? Guess what she did? She's on the highway. The cops are pulling up. She lifted her hands and started going, hallelujah, Jesus! I praise you, you're good! You're good. Like, I don't even know what she was saying, but like, Lord, this ain't my car anymore, but you got another car for me. You're gonna get me where I need to go. Hallelujah, you're still good. You're still faithful. I trust you, oh God. Faith makes you strong when things are wrong. You see? But that's because you have hope that even though things go wrong, how many know no one who looks to him will ever be put to shame? He who began the good work in you is going to carry that thing on to completion. He didn't bring you this far to let you drop and fail. Does anybody believe that here today? You can be strong in the Lord, strong in your conviction, strong in your position. Faith takes a position of strength and says, God's going to take care of this. I trust him. You know, Pastor Jake preached about this last week. She's not even a believer. She draws close to Jesus. Jesus said, we can't give the food of the children to puppies. She says, yeah, but even puppies get a crumb. I believe in the power of a crumb from your table, Lord. And he says, for that, you've got the answer. How many, it doesn't matter what the devil is doing, we could hope in God, and God is able, God is mighty, God is powerful. Hope makes you strong when things are wrong. Be strong this week. Be strong this year when things go wrong. How do you act strong? Take a posture of hope before the Lord. Secondly, hope makes you happy when you're waiting. We're not supposed to wait on God in a grumbling, complaining kind of way. When are you going to do it, Lord? I used to believe God back in 1978, you know. That's not hope, you see. Isn't it crazy? You tell a child, you just tell them, we're going here, we're going to do this. Right? They're just in a good mood. Why are you happy? I'm happy because this is coming. You know? It's 3 weeks away. Don't you love when you make a promise? You learn as a parent. Don't make a promise too soon. Because they're like, is that day here yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Why? Because they're so anticipating what is going to happen when they get to where you promise. Are you anticipating this year? How many know? We need to live with anticipation, expectation. We need to be happy while we're waiting. Thank you, Lord. And that's why every time we pray, right? Every time you pray, your thanking God in advance should be so, like, I believe, like, sometimes we pray in prayer meeting, and then we cry out to God, and then I'm like, all right, let's thank God for answered prayer. And sometimes we give a golf clap when it should be like the World Cup. It should be like soccer in Brazil or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like people going crazy, because if God did that great thing for you, if he took that mountain, if he healed that son, well, how would you respond? Should we not do it in advance and say, thank you, Lord? Come on, let's thank him in advance for all he's gonna do in 2025. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you for what you're gonna do, oh God. We praise you for what you're gonna do. Hallelujah. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior. I thank you. You're going to do that. You're going to provide. Lastly, and I'll close with this. Hope makes you focus on the crown. Hope makes you focus on the crown. And you see, one of the reasons we get so disappointed is we hope in the wrong ending. What are you hoping for? Can I give you a piece of advice? I personally believe that we Christians don't think enough about heaven. We should think about heaven. We should think about the day when we cross over from this life. You know? Like, man, I'm ready to go. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. I want to get there. And let me tell you, when you get there, it will out exceed. It'll be exceedingly and abundantly more than any dream you have, any house you have, any car you have, anything you taste. How many know when we get to heaven, it will be so beyond our imagination, our understanding. We need to be thinking about getting there. And hope makes you think about heaven. Can I talk to you about some spiritual things today? Yes. Lord, I want to get better in my career. Set your goals for the year. I hope you set some goals. Set your goals. I want more income. I want this. I want a boyfriend. I want a girlfriend. I want to get married. All of those things are fine, but never let them be bigger than the day that he takes you into his arms, than the day that you see him face to face. Hallelujah. Brothers, can I tell you, brothers, all men of God, right, who are called to lead for the glory of God, right? It is very, very important that you set your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. It'll guide your choices. It'll inform your decisions. It will shape your feelings. We'll take our place, you know? This is a big deal. Every head of household, ladies, set your eyes on Jesus in 2025. Let no one, let nothing go before the day when you face him. And hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm speaking just strictly as a pastor. There's all kinds of trends in churches. There's all kinds of there's all kinds of things going on and they're hip and they're cool. And I'm not here to criticize any of the church, but let me tell you what I think about. I think about the day that we face Jesus. Okay, why do we tell you to come to church at the most important meeting of the week? I'm gonna tell you why, because the Bible says, I didn't say it. The Bible says my house should be called the house of prayer. Well, we do this, we do that, we do this. I don't know about you, but I'm doing what Jesus said to do, and we're gonna seek the face of God in 2025. Because one day, we're gonna stand before God. My job is to help present you. Okay, so part of that is, listen to me, think about heaven this year. Okay, in fact, when you get disappointed, stop for a minute, think about heaven, and then reshape the conversation. Think about heaven. Children of God, think about heaven. Children of God, think about standing before God. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We want to stand before God and say, I lived for you. I wanted to serve you. And you know what? Some things were tough, but I did it because I love you. Do you know how the great reward of God upon your life when you get there? Anybody want that great reward? Anybody living for that crown? Hope makes you live for the crown. I don't care if you're 15 years old. Think about heaven. Amen. Think about heaven. No one knows the day or the hour. And as we do, there's a pleasure that comes into the heart of God, and He will release blessing upon blessing upon our lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.